Hello, and welcome to Winking Cat Tales. In this episode, we present a new adaptation of a very familiar story, The Tale of Cinderella. It may seem strange to say we're presenting a new version of the story. You've probably seen a movie or read a book about Cinderella already. So what could be new about it? But did you know that there are many different versions of the story from around the world? And actually, the story of Cinderella is very, very old. The version of Cinderella's story that most people know was written by the Brothers Grimm in Germany about 200 years ago, in 1812. They may have gotten the story from an older version of Cinderella written by the French author Charles Perrault. Perrault wrote his version of Cinderella in Paris in 1687, over 100 years before the Brothers Grimm. Perrault's version of the story is a lot more romantic and less gruesome than the Brothers Grimm version, but the story of Cinderella is likely even much older than that. A Chinese story about a girl named Ye Shen has been told for over 1,000 years. Like Cinderella, Ye Shen is a poor orphan girl that has a magical guardian to help her dress for a festival. In disguise, she goes to the festival. When she sees her mean stepmother and stepsister, she runs away and loses her golden slipper. The prince of the village discovers the shoe and uses it to find the girl he fell in love with at the festival. Sound familiar? The more stories you read, the more you find that each culture and each generation loves to retell their favorite stories. Every time they do, they add something of themselves to it. In this way, the stories always stay fresh and new. Just like Charles Perrault and the Brothers Grimm, Winking Cat decided to retell the story of Cinderella, adding some new music and a bit of ourselves to the tale. Now we invite you to listen to our version of Cinderella. Imagine if you were a fairy godmother. All day long you'd hear people calling to you, asking you to grant their wishes. Everyone always wants something they don't have. Even the prince, who lived in a beautiful castle on the hill, wished for one special something he could never seem to find. And in Cinderella's house, her stepmother and stepsisters always wished for something they thought would make them happy.
All I ask is a country chateau, a grand house to live in with a garden below, 2 wealthy husbands for my little girls, giving them presents of diamonds and pearls.
I make my wish on the stars in the sky, for it is a wish I can't borrow or buy. I wish for a maiden to share with my life long, a kind, fair companion to join in my song.
I want someone who will cherish my beauty. Praise every feature from my head to my footy.
Big footy. Money is what she wants.
I need a husband with a social position, oodles of money and tons of ambition.
I think,
girls, we deserve a place where our status is observed.
A place where we're pampered and we're spoiled and we're served.
But Cinderella's fairy godmother never heard her ask for anything. Cinderella always tried to find happiness and contentment in little things. She never even complained about the cruel nickname her stepsisters gave her, Cinderella. Her name was really Ella. Her mother named her Ella, and she was deeply loved by both her parents. But her mother died when Ella was very young. Ella's father was away from home on business often, so he married a woman with two little girls. He hoped his new wife would take care of Ella, and her two girls would be good companions for his daughter. But when he wasn't watching, they treated Ella badly. Then Ella's father died, and her stepmother and stepsisters grew even more cruel. They treated Ella like a servant in her own house. They made her do all the housework while the stepsisters and Ella's stepmother pampered themselves by spending all the money Ella's father had saved. While her stepmother and stepsisters slept in big feather beds, poor Ella often slept on the stones by the fireplace to stay warm. Every morning she woke covered in ashes and cinders, so her stepsisters gave her the nasty nickname of Cinderella. But in spite of the way her stepmother and stepsisters treated her, and how difficult her life had become, Cinderella tried to find the best of every situation. After all, she said to herself, things could be worse.
I could live 'neath a rock, within a cave by the sea. Very cold, very wet, very lonely I'd be. And all I'd have is seaweed and fish to eat. No greens or fruit and nothing sweet to eat. No treat if I lived in a cave by the sea. I could live on a branch way up high in a tree. Very breezy, very dizzy, very lonely I'd be. And all I could do is watch the world down below, seeing everyone run to and fro. If I lived way up high in a tree. So I'm grateful for where I am, what I have, though it seems so little. And if this family's a bit strange, and my sisters are a bit rude and kittle, they're all I have. And I should be glad that I have anyone or anything at all. I could live in a log somewhere deep in the wood, all by myself, very misunderstood. And I could never see the sky through the leaves. To never see the sun, how I'd grieve. To never see the stars every evening. Believe me, if I lived in a wood. So when I look around me, profoundly for the life and the family I've got.
Cinderella might have lived her whole life sleeping by the fireplace if the king and queen had not been impatient for their son to get married. They had grown tired of wishing for a girl their son would fall in love with, and decided to take the matter into their own hands. They decided to have a grand ball and invite all the eligible young women of the kingdom to attend. The prince was told to choose one of those young ladies attending the ball as his bride. They sent messengers far and wide to deliver invitations to every household that had eligible young ladies living there. Cinderella was sweeping the front walk when the messenger from the palace arrived at her house. "What is this?" she asked him.
"It is an invitation from the palace," answered the messenger smugly.
Cinderella turned toward the door to call her stepmother. "If it's from the palace," she said, "you should probably speak to my stepmother."
"No time," shouted the messenger, and he jumped back on his horse. "I have too many messages to deliver."
Cinderella held the envelope in her fingers as the messenger rode away. The paper felt smooth and heavy. She was tempted to look inside, but thought better of it. "I need to give this to my stepmother," she said. But just as she walked to the door, her stepsisters, Jeanette and Babette, walked around the corner of the house.
"We thought we heard a horse at the gate," declared Babette.
"Yes," said Cinderella. "A messenger just delivered this invitation from the palace."
"From the palace?" exclaimed Jeanette. "What does the invitation say?"
"I don't know," Cinderella replied. Both Jeanette and Babette let out a gasp.
"You mean you haven't opened it?" asked Babette.
"No," answered Cinderella. "I was taking it to your mother to open." Jeanette walked closer to Cinderella and said coyly,
"Mother is busy at the moment. I'm sure she wouldn't mind if you opened it for her."
Babette added with a sheepish smile,
"She always lets us open her mail."
Jeanette grabbed the envelope from Cinderella,
"and we want to know what it says now."
Jeanette tore open the seal and pulled out the crisp linen invitation. She read the gilded letters as Babette looked over her shoulder.
"Tall, young, maid ends," read Jeanette aloud. "That's a strange way to start an invitation. Are only tall people allowed to come?"
"You're not reading it right," chided Babette. "The invitation says to all young maidens." The stepsisters paused for a moment and then squealed with delight.
"Oh, that means us,"
they proclaimed in unison.
"We're young maidens."
"What else does it say?"
asked Jeanette. Babette studied the paper for a moment.
"I can't read the rest. It's written in cursive. I never learned to read cursive."
Jeanette shoved the invitation and the envelope into Cinderella's hands.
"You read it," she commanded.
Cinderella read the notice to them. "By order of the king, every young unmarried maiden in the kingdom must attend a ball in the palace on the first evening of the coming month. Wear your finest attire. At the ball, Prince Hugo will choose one of the maidens to be his bride."
"It's an invitation to a ball," shouted Babette.
"Not just any ball, a royal ball. At the ball, the royal ball, I will wear my pink feather shawl. Music will play, really chocolate souffle, as the dancers all sway at the ball.
He will say, s'il vous plaît, I'll say, ooh, enchanté, and we'll have a tete-a-tete at the ball. At the ball,
the royal ball, the prince will be there at the ball.
When he sees me in my silver gown, he'll only want to dance with me. And when you trip, stumble, and fall down, the prince and I will laugh with glee. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. You won't be laughing when I crush your toes.
You won't be laughing when I punch your nose.
I'll rip your hose.
Tear your clothes.
Untie your bows.
But we must be ladies at the ball.
We must be ladies at the ball.
The ball.
The ball. At the ball. The royal ball. The propose at the bar. He'll get down on one knee and say, please marry me.
Marry me.
Marry me.
Ha ha. Ha ha.
What makes you think you're going to the ball?
Silly girl.
Silly girl.
You must see that it's clear. So just stay home, sister dear.
You will never.
"What is all this clamor about?" yelled Cinderella's stepmother as she opened the door.
"Oh, Mama, it's so exciting," exclaimed Babette. "There's going to be a ball at the palace."
Jeanette pushed her sister aside and added,
"And they want every eligible maiden to be there.
And the prince is going to choose one of them to be his bride."
The sisters squealed in unison. "Who told you all this?" asked the stepmother.
"A palace messenger brought an invitation here for us," explained Jeanette.
Her mother scowled at her. "You opened my mail?"
"Not me,"
lied Jeanette. Silently, both sisters pointed at Cinderella.
"How dare you?" shrieked the stepmother.
"But,"
Cinderella tried to explain.
Her stepmother waved her arms angrily. "I don't want to hear any excuses," she scolded. "Finish sweeping the walk. After that, we have other chores for you to do, since you have time to read my mail."
Jeanette and Babette giggled softly, but stopped suddenly as their mother turned toward them.
"We need to start getting ready now if we have any hope of getting the prince to notice you at the ball."
"Are you talking to me? Or Jeanette?" asked Babette.
"Me, of course," blurted Jeanette. "Of course the prince will want to marry me first, because I'm the oldest."
Babette was puzzled.
"First?" she asked. "Does that mean the prince will marry both of us?"
"He can't do that," exclaimed Jeanette. "That's illegal."
Cinderella's stepsisters continued arguing as they and their mother went back into the house. Cinderella picked up her broom and started sweeping again. But as she swept, she imagined she was dancing at the ball. "A royal ball," she thought. "How amazing and beautiful it would be to go to a royal ball."
At the ball, the royal ball, the prince will be there at the ball. He will say, "Si vous plaît," I'll say, "Ooh, enchanté." Then he'll smile and walk away at the ball. Music will play, I'll eat chocolate souffle, while the dancers all sway at the ball. At the ball, the royal ball, I may meet the prince at the ball.
During the week before the ball, Cinderella's stepmother and stepsisters busied themselves, practicing their dance steps and spending the last bit of money on gowns and jewels. Cinderella kept busy during the day and evening with chores, but late at night she sat beside the fire sewing a gown for the ball. She found an old dress of her mother's in the cedar chest. Carefully, she mended the torn seams and lace collar. She used ribbons that Babette discarded to make the dress look more colorful and festive. The night of the ball finally arrived, and the house was all aflutter. Cinderella ran from room to room, curling her stepsister's hair, attaching feathers to her stepmother's fan. She worried that she might not be able to finish her own gown before the carriage came to take them all to the palace.
"Cinderella," shouted Jeanette, "the carriage is here. Where's the bow for my hair?" "Cinderella," called Babette, "don't forget to bring a tassel for my sleeve."
Stepmother studied her daughters like a general inspecting her troops.
"Barely presentable. Girls, you will have to be on your best behavior tonight. No arguing or fighting. Remember to make quaint conversation, but don't say anything controversial."
"Yes, Mama,"
the girls chirped as they curtsied. Stepmother glanced outside the door.
The carriage is waiting. I need my fan. Where is Cinderella?
I'm here,
Cinderella said as she ran down the stairs. The sweet girl looked breathtakingly beautiful, and her stepmother took notice.
I'm ready to go, stepmother, Cinderella called innocently.
Stepmother's eyes narrowed into tiny slits as she pushed past her daughters. Like a tiger, she walked towards Cinderella and stood imposingly in the girl's path.
Where did you get that gown? She asked coldly.
Cinderella smiled proudly and explained, I found it in my mother's old chest of clothes. I know it is a bit old-fashioned, but I added some ribbons and repaired the lace. There will be so many people at the ball, I don't think anyone will notice.
The invitation said all eligible young maidens, Jeanette blurted out. With that sooty face and old dress, you are hardly eligible to marry the prince.
Please, may I go, stepmother, Cinderella begged her. I've never been to a ball.
I don't see why not, the woman sneered.
You can't be serious, Mama, exclaimed Jeanette.
Cinderella's stepmother circled slowly around the girl, studying every button of Cinderella's gown. She stopped beside the shelf at the stone fireplace and turned to her daughters.
Why can't Cinderella enjoy herself for one evening? After all, she works so hard on her gown. I think the ribbons are an especially nice touch, don't you, Babette?
I think the ribbons look hideous, huffed Babette. They look just like the old ribbons I threw away last week.
Suddenly the younger stepsister's eyes opened wide.
Those are my ribbons, she shouted.
But you didn't want them, Cinderella tried to explain. You threw them away.
Before Cinderella could finish her sentence, Babette leapt on her and ripped the ribbons off Cinderella's gown, tearing the sleeves. As she watched Babette rip at Cinderella's dress, stepmother deliberately bumped a bowl of lentils off the shelf, scattering the tiny lentils among the ashes in the fireplace.
Oh, dear, she exclaimed as she pretended to be surprised. Look what you girls made me do. If we don't have the lentils ready to cook tomorrow, we shall have nothing to eat for dinner. I'm afraid, Cinderella, you will have to pick all the lentils out of the ashes and put them back into the bowl before you go to the ball.
But, stepmother, the lentils are so small, said Cinderella, and the ashes are so deep.
Nevertheless, said stepmother, you cannot go to the ball until that task is done, or you shall have no dinner for a week.
Stepmother and her daughters began to leave, but stepmother stopped in the doorway and turned back to Cinderella.
And be sure to wear comfortable shoes, my dear, she snarled. It's a long walk to the palace.
The three women laughed out loud as they walked from the door to the carriage and drove away into the night. Cinderella looked down at her mother's torn gown. The sleeves were beyond repair, and the hem was now smudged with soot from the fireplace. There was no hope of going to the ball now. A single tear fell from her eye as she picked up the basket and set it on the stone floor. She sank down beside it and began picking out the tiny bean-like lentils out of the ashes, one at a time.
Each one like a tear falls so silently, covered in ashes, for my future's clear, and I'll never escape this feeling of being alone, alone, as I watch all my dreams disappear, with eyes that can't cry. From
her tree in the forest, Cinderella's fairy godmother heard the girl's sad song, and she flew quietly and quickly to be by her side.
"What's wrong, my dear?" asked the fairy.
Cinderella was so busy plucking the lentils from the ashes, she hadn't noticed the beautiful woman come in. She was startled at first, but something about the fairy's soft, gentle eyes instantly set any of Cinderella's fears aside.
"It's not important," Cinderella replied. "I wanted to go to the ball, but I must stay here and work instead."
"Why isn't the ball important?" said the fairy.
"It's not like having food or home or anything like that," the girl explained. "But it would have been nice to wear a beautiful dress and dance at a ball just once."
"There may be something I can do, my dear," said the fairy.
"First things first, believe in yourself. Don't just sit and despair. It's the only life you've got. It's your turn to take a shot. Life isn't always fair, but you can't let that scare you."
"Well, if only I could be sure."
"Ella, Ella, Ella, for once in your life, kiss all your doubts goodbye. You may fly high or fall flat upon your face, but you never know till you try. Trust me, child, I'll help you through. I'm here to make dreams come true. You're not in this alone. You're not all on your own. No need to be blue, for I know just exactly what to do."
With the wave of her hand, Cinderella's fairy godmother turned her torn and tattered dress into a beautiful ball gown. The girl's tousled hair twirled itself into a perfect twist of lovely curls, and Cinderella's stained cloth shoes transformed into a pair of clear glass slippers.
"You can open your eyes now," her godmother instructed.
Cinderella couldn't believe what she saw. The gown was more glorious than anything she could have imagined.
"I don't know what to say," cried Cinderella.
"I am your fairy godmother, my dear. I am here to keep you safe and happy. And we are not done yet. I can't have you walking to the palace in those glass slippers. We have to find you a carriage."
"But all the carriages have been taken by everyone else in the village," Cinderella said. "I don't think there is any hope of finding one at this hour."
"Then we will have to make our own," the fairy godmother announced. "Follow me to the garden. I believe you must have a pumpkin out there somewhere."
Cinderella followed her fairy godmother as she strode out the door and into the garden. Together they found a large, perfectly round orange pumpkin. With a wave of her hands and a flutter of leaves, the pumpkin was transformed into a magical crystal carriage with golden wheels. She waved her hands again, and four curious deer mice were turned into elegant white horses to pull the carriage. It took a few minutes, but the fairy found a fat rat and his brother rooting through the pile of discarded potato peels. She turned them into a coachman and a groom for the carriage.
"Now you are ready to go to the ball,"
said the fairy godmother. Cinderella looked overwhelmed. "This all feels like such a dream," she said. "Is it really happening?"
"Yes, it is," the fairy replied.
"But what will I do at the ball? I'm not elegant or sophisticated like all the people at the palace. I'm not anyone special. And what about the lentils? I still have to pick up the lentils. Maybe I shouldn't be going to the ball."
"Ella, Ella, Ella, I'll help you through, but now it's all up to you. Just find your strength inside, the world will open wide. Have faith in your heart and never forget how to dream."
"Always remember, Ella," said the fairy with a smile. "You will always be special because only you are you. Don't worry about the lentils. I will have some birds help me gather them and put them in the bowl."
Cinderella climbed into the carriage, but her fairy godmother had one more bit of advice for her.
"Don't forget, Cinderella," she warned her. "My magic is only good for this day. At the stroke of midnight, it will all disappear. Make sure you leave the ball before then."
"I will remember," shouted Cinderella as the carriage drove away.
The palace looked absolutely amazing as Cinderella's carriage approached. Colorful banners and flowers were everywhere. Candlelit lanterns lined the entryway and the garden walkways. The silver moon was just rising.
It was a breathtaking scene.
Cinderella's heart was pounding as she began to feel nervous again. She asked the coachman to let her out by the terrace near the garden. The air felt fresh and warm, and a gentle breeze blew the sounds of the ballroom onto the terrace. Twice the shy Cinderella tried to make her way toward the doors of the palace, but twice she retreated to the carefully clipped hedges of the garden.
"I wish I weren't so timid," Cinderella thought to herself.
Cinderella was so deep in thought that she didn't even notice the young man who stood on the other side of the hedge. He was also seeking some solitude from the noise and the hubbub of the ball.
"Why aren't you dancing with the others?" he asked.
"Oh," said Cinderella.
"Look at all those elegant people. They all look so confident and cool, self-assured and dignified.
You see all those eager young maidens, each of them inspects and yearns to be by my side as wedded bride.
Self-assured and dignified, and
they
what
all
am
want
I?
To marry me, and what am I? I'm terrified. Overwhelmed, what was I thinking? Never will I choose the perfect one. There's no way I can decide.
I'm a fool, what was I thinking? Obviously I cannot fit in. Never will be bona fide.
I just want to run and hide, and what
I should not
I?
Have even tried, and what am I? I'm terrified. This is not what I expected at
this
all.
This night is nothing I thought it would be.
It sounded exciting to go to a ball, but now I'm thinking.
But now you're thinking.
This kind of thing is not for you and me.
A lot alike, you and I. We're a bit more quiet.
Yes, and a little shy.
But that's all right, I don't mind. We can stay right here beneath the brilliant stars and open sky. Because here with you I'm not so terrified.
"Thank you for understanding," said Cinderella. "Don't you want to go inside?" asked the young man. "You've come all this way."
"Not just yet," she answered. "They're all dancing, and I don't dance very well."
The young man held out his hand.
"We can dance out here. I can teach you the steps."
"May I have this dance?"
Cinderella's face glowed. "Yes, I would love to dance with you," she replied.
Cheerfully, she took his hand, and he led her to a clearing in the garden. Gently, he wrapped his arm around her waist. He guided her forward, then one step backward. At first, they moved slowly and cautiously, but as Cinderella grew more confident, they began to twirl and glide across the stone terrace. She felt like she was flying. As they danced, they laughed and talked about the flowers, the stars, and how joyous it was to find someone they truly felt comfortable with. Suddenly, the music ended, and there was a loud shrieking sound that came from the grand doorway.
"Yoo-hoo! Your Highness!"
The shrill voice sounded again. Cinderella turned and saw her stepmother and stepsisters standing there, waving at the young man. She looked back at the young man's face. "Oh, my goodness," she exclaimed. "You're the prince." "I'm sorry," said the prince. "I should have introduced myself. I thought you knew." Cinderella gathered up her dress. "I must go." "Did I say something wrong?" asked the prince anxiously. Just then, the bell in the palace tower rang out. "What time is it?" "I believe it's midnight," replied the prince. "It's still early. I would love to have you meet my parents." Cinderella panicked as a second chime rang out. She looked back at the palace and saw her stepmother, Jeanette, and Babette coming towards them. "I really must go," she exclaimed. "I've had a wonderful time, but I've stayed too long. I shall never forget you." Prince Hugo tried to grasp her arm, but Cinderella moved too quickly. She started running down the garden path. The next chime rang, then the next. As she ran, one of her glass slippers slipped off her foot. There was no time to turn around and pick it up. The next chime clanged in her ears. Prince Hugo began to follow her, but Cinderella's stepmother and stepsisters blocked his way. "Where are you going, Your Highness?" asked stepmother. "You have been hiding out here and not had the chance to dance with my daughter, Jeanette." The woman shoved Jeanette toward the prince. He could not pass. "I did dance with your daughter, madam," Prince Hugo said firmly but politely. "She stepped all over my feet." "Perhaps you should dance with my younger daughter, Babette. She is much more graceful," she proposed. "I've already danced with her," said Prince Hugo. "She prattled the whole time about her hair and her ribbons." With a quick step between the cluster of women, he announced, "If you'll excuse me," he burst past the bewildered stepmother and ran down the path after Cinderella.
"How rude," proclaimed Jeanette smugly.
"Oh, be quiet," snapped stepmother. "All the money we've spent on this ball has been wasted." Their mother grabbed the girls' hands and pulled them back into the ballroom just as the clock struck the final chime of midnight. Prince Hugo ran as fast as he could down the path, but the lovely woman he had danced with on the terrace had disappeared. The only confirmation that she ever existed was a tiny glass slipper he found along the garden path. At the end of the ball, the king and queen asked their son which maiden he had chosen to marry. The prince held up the glass slipper and announced that he would marry the girl whose foot fit into that shoe. He promised to search the kingdom and try the slipper on every maiden he found. Stepmother let out a giddy squeal.
"Oh, one of you might still have a chance to wed the prince," she mused.
"We have to go home right away to see what we can do to guarantee that your foot fits that shoe." The magic carriage was only able to take Cinderella halfway home before it turned back into a pumpkin. The mice and the rat brothers ran into the bushes along the road, and Cinderella ran the rest of the way home in her old tattered dress. Only the one glass slipper remained. Cinderella tucked that into her apron pocket. When she got home, the entire house was clean, and all the spilled lentils were back in the basket, just as their fairy godmother had promised they would be. Cinderella barely had time to change into her regular clothes before her stepmother and stepsister's carriage arrived. As they walked through the door, Jeanette and Babette were arguing as always. "How was the ball?" Cinderella asked her stepsisters innocently.
"It was beautiful," Babette answered. "And they had all kinds of chocolate cakes to eat."
"The music was too loud," said stepmother as she sat in her chair. Jeanette began to twirl around the room.
"The better to dance with," she tweeted.
Babette turned to Cinderella and whispered loudly,
"Jeanette tripped all over the prince's feet. If you had let me borrow your shoes for the ball, I would not have been so clumsy," said Jeanette. "You can't wear my shoes," taunted Babette. "Your feet are too big." Jeanette squawked, "They are not."
Jeanette threw one of her shoes at Babette. "Girls, girls," screamed stepmother, "stop this fighting.
If you want to marry the prince, you have to start acting like proper ladies. Why do you always act this way?
It's Ella's fault, Mama. She is a clever mastermind.
You see how Jeanette and Babette are always fighting? Your fault.
Your fault. You're the one to blame.
They used to be so cultured, now they're yelling and they're biting. Your fault.
Your fault. You're the one to blame.
Every day I see you plotting.
Planning, plotting.
Did you think that I was blind?
Did you think that she was blind?
Every day I see my daughters.
Every day she sees her daughters.
Getting less and less refined.
Getting less and less defined.
Tell me what I must do just to end all these kerfuffles.
It's Ella. She's just awful. She's the one to blame.
I'll have to teach her manners so we end these petty tussles. Don't you think so, girls?
Yeah, she's the one to blame.
She's determined to keep us from thriving.
Plotting, conniving.
It's shocking more than I can say.
It's too rude to say.
Yeah. My daughter's training for which I was striving is ruined now, so I will make you pay.
But she doesn't have any money, Mama.
After all I've done to lay down proper rules, you persist in doing anything you please. It is clear that you're merely stubborn as a mule, or else you have some vile, rebellious disease.
Ew.
Each day I have to referee a sisterly altercation. Guess what?
Your fault. You're the one to blame.
My girls were once a duo of charm and fascination.
Before?
No more.
It's all your fault.
They should be the fairest in the county.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The toast of every elegant soiree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each one the ideal of feminine bounty.
Wow.
Because of you, they're not. So you must pay.
Yes. Because you're the one to blame for all our shame. Your fault.
Yeah.
Now, stepmother declared, we have to be ready for when the prince comes.
The prince is coming here? Cinderella asked.
Yes, replied Babette. He was supposed to choose a bride from the maidens at the ball, Jeanette interrupted. But he fell in love with a girl who didn't even come into the palace. Talk about clumsy. She left her shoe in the garden while she was running away. The prince is going to try the shoe on every maiden in the kingdom until he finds the girl from the garden, added Babette. He could be here at any moment.
Stepmother walked closer to Cinderella and asked her suspiciously, where are your shoes, Cinderella?
The girl replied quickly, I stepped in the mud in the garden. I had to wash them.
But in all honesty, she had lost the shoe in the mud in the prince's garden. Her stepmother suspected there was something more to Cinderella's story, but didn't have time to investigate. Instead, she simply told Cinderella, go to your room and stay there until I say you can come out. But, started Cinderella, go, commanded stepmother. Cinderella dutifully walked upstairs to her cold, musty room in the attic and closed the door. Babette and Jeanette spent all night soaking their feet in icy water to help them shrink. The girls were shivering.
Mama, asked Jeanette, how does this help? My feet are turning blue.
Suddenly, the women heard horses outside. It's Prince Hugo and his entourage, exclaimed stepmother as she ran to the window. Both girls tottered on their frozen feet and stood behind their mother as she opened the door. Welcome to our humble home, Your Highness, she said, and curtsied low. Her daughters clumsily copied her. I remember you, declared the prince. You were the women who came into the garden just as the girl I was dancing with ran away. None of you could have lost the slipper. It would be a waste of time to try it on any of you. Even so, stepmother said firmly, you announced you would try the slipper on every maiden in the kingdom. Reluctantly, the prince agreed. "Which of your daughters will go first?" he asked.
"I will," shouted Jeanette, "because I'm the oldest."
"Even though I'm the prettiest," added Babette.
"You're the only one who thinks so,"
argued Jeanette rudely as she pushed Babette aside and leapt into the chair. She stuck out her bare blue foot towards the prince. He quietly knelt down and tried to put the glass slipper over Jeanette's wrinkled blue toes. The girl shoved as hard as she could, but the slipper could move no further.
"My feet are swollen from all that dancing last evening," she whined. Babette laughed. "Your foot isn't swollen. It's just too big."
She grabbed her sister's arm and pulled her out of the chair. "My turn," she yelled. The prince began to try and put the slipper on Babette's foot.
"You will see, Mama. My foot is sweet and tiny, and it will fit perfectly."
But it was clear the shoe did not fit her either. "My business is finished here, Madame, unless there are any other young maidens in your home," announced the prince.
"There are no others, Your Highness," said Cinderella's stepmother.
Cinderella had been listening to everything through her door. When she heard Prince Hugo's voice, she remembered how happy she had felt in his company. Finally, as she heard him walk towards the door, she realized she might never see him again. She took a deep breath and shouted,
"There is one more maiden here."
Her voice sprang from her unexpectedly. She stepped through the doorway.
"Me, please try the slipper on me."
"Cinderella," stepmother screamed, "go back to your room and..."
"No," the prince interrupted. "You said it yourself. I must try this slipper on every eligible maiden in the kingdom." Prince Hugo took Cinderella by the hand and led her to the chair. Cinderella's foot fit perfectly into the slipper, as if it had been made for her, which, of course, it was.
"No!"
exclaimed Jeanette and Babette.
Stepmother shrieked in disbelief. "It is just dumb luck that her foot fits into the slipper."
"No," said Cinderella, as she reached into her apron pocket, "for you see, I have the partner to the shoe." She pulled out the companion glass slipper.
"You are the one," declared Prince Hugo. "You are the maiden I have been searching for. You will be my bride."
Jeanette and Babette began to wail.
"It's not fair," cried Babette. "I wanted to be a princess. I wanted to have jewels and wear beautiful gowns," howled Jeanette.
Even stepmother began to cry.
"I just wanted to live in a palace. Now I will never leave this little humble house."
Cinderella turned to her stepmother and stepsisters and said, "Don't cry. Just because my dream came true, it doesn't mean that your dreams cannot." She turned to Prince Hugo and asked, "May they come and live with us at the palace? After all they have done, they are still the only family I have, and I want them to be as happy as I am now."
"Of course," said the prince.
Suddenly, Cinderella's fairy godmother appeared by the fireplace.
"So, child, is this everything you dreamt it would be?" she asked.
"Oh, yes," Cinderella exclaimed. The fairy smiled.
"You will be a princess, and some day a queen."
Cinderella felt her old fears clawing at her again.
"Oh, godmother, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know how to be a princess." "You have kindness, compassion, and grace," said the fairy. "You will be a wonderful princess. And if you ever need any help, I will always be there for you."
"Trust me, child, I'll help you through. I'm here to make dreams come true. You're not in this alone.
You're not alone, you're alone. So set your goals high.
And they all lived happily ever after. The end.
Thank you for listening to our Winky Cat adaptation of Cinderella by P. Haynes Ainsworth and Terrence Alaric Levitt. Copyright 2020 by Winking Cat Books.
Keep listening for more new fun musical stories, and be sure to check out our website for YouTube links to behind the scenes and sing-along videos. Our website is www.winkingcattales, that's cat with a K, ATTALES.com. Until the next story, this is Pat Haynes Ainsworth for Winking Cat Tales. Any use of this podcast without written permission is prohibited by law.